How many of you, truthfully, would say, you know, I'm not as close to my loved ones, my friends, as I really would like to be? Maybe some loved ones in your life, perhaps it's a spouse. It might be a son or a daughter. Could be a grandchild. Or it might be a neighbor or a friend, maybe a co-worker. Maybe you're just not as close. I believe if all of us were honest, we'd say, you know, I'm not as close to my loved ones as I really want to be. Well, sometimes you know and I know that in life, especially around Christmas time, we spend more time with our family than we normally do throughout the year. And if we're not careful, we can come away from gathering together for Christmas or Thanksgiving and then have some kind of strain on our relationship. Something could happen, or something is said, or something is not said, and then you come away from that supposedly happy time with a heavy heart because of what somebody did or didn't do. And so I began to think this week about what the Lord would have me to share, and the message God has placed on my heart to share with you today, I believe it's going to be a blessing. I really do. I think that it'll help you. I believe it's going to help us today if we'll do exactly what God tells us to do. And the title is Calling Dr. Jesus. Calling Dr. Jesus. Because sometimes we have sickness, physical, spiritual, emotional sickness in our families and even in our own life. But you know what? You can call Dr. Jesus. The Word of God teaches that if, when we're afflicted, James says over there in James 5 and 13, when you're afflicted, if anyone be afflicted, let him pray. If anybody is sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them anoint him with oil, and the name of the Lord and the prayer of faith shall cure him or heal him. And so when we're afflicted, we can call upon Dr. Jesus. And I think there might be one or two perhaps in the house of God today that need to call upon the name of the Lord. Call Dr. Jesus. Isn't it amazing when we're bitten with that big bad bug called bitterness, we can call Dr. Jesus. Is there anybody here today that be honest with God and won't play games and won't be a hypocrite, but be honest with God and say deep down inside, Pastor, I am mad, or I am hurt, or I am offended, or I am resentful toward this or to that. Well, call Dr. Jesus. We can call Dr. Jesus when we need comfort. Is there anybody here today that's hurting and needs God, the Holy Ghost, to apply the balm of Gilead? Call Dr. Jesus. Will you do it today? You can do it. And the Lord has said, I'll be near to you if you draw near to me. You can call Dr. Jesus. I'm glad when things don't go right in our life, we can call Dr. Jesus. Let me ask you a question. How many be honest and say, you know, things aren't going exactly as the way I'd want them to go. I'm having this trouble and that trouble, and I just don't know what I'm going to do about it. You can call Dr. Jesus. Will you do it? How many are discouraged today? Will you call Dr. Jesus? When you need encouragement, will you call on Dr. Jesus? How about how many would say, you know, Brother Pastor, I'm getting more and more forgetful-minded. How many would say that? I know as we get older, sometimes we're bombarded, inundated with information and things to do, and we get forgetful-minded. Will somebody say amen? I saw a man this week, and he told me this. He said, Pastor, he said, I'm getting more and more forgetful-minded. He said, honestly, he said, I'm thinking about what I need to get. He said, I believe in the hereafter. I go from room to room wondering what I'm hereafter. He really did tell me that. He said, I when I'm sitting down, I think about what I need in the other room, but by the time I get in there, I forgot what I'm in there for. I suggest to him, write down on a piece of paper and carry it with you when you go to the other room, and then that way you won't be so forgetful-minded. But speaking of relationships and speaking about calling Dr. Jesus, I just want to make an announcement. I love it when our church family celebrates victories and special occasions. And I just, for the record's sake, I don't know if y'all knew or not, we've got two lovebirds in the house of God today that are celebrating their 50th anniversary this coming December the 20th. Brother Kenneth and Marcia Mason are celebrating 50 years. Isn't that a blessing? Come on, let's praise the Lord. I thought about it, Brother Kenneth, this morning, that about the two that were celebrating their 50th anniversary, and somebody said to him, said, "Well, what are y'all going to do?" He said, "Well, I think we're going to take a trip over to Hawaii." And they said, "Boy, that'd be great." Said, "But you know, next year it's going to be hard to beat that. What are y'all going to do next year?" The old boy said, "I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go get my wife from Hawaii, all right? I don't know about all that, but I do know this. It's a great day when you celebrate 50 years. How many of you celebrated 50 years? Let me see your hand. If you celebrated 50 years of marriage. Anybody? Wow, nobody in the house today? Well, bless the Lord. It's a real milestone, and I praise God for it. Here's where we're going today. I want to talk with you today for a little while about a man and a woman. They had a crisis. Really, they had a problem. What was their problem? They had no child. And really, they didn't have any hope. Why? Because they were well up in age. They were stricken in age. But how many know that when the diagnosis is no child and the prognosis is no hope, there's a such thing as the God-gnosis? Can I make up a word? I made up that word as I was thinking and praying about the day. Not only the diagnosis and the prognosis, but the God-gnosis. How many know? With God, all things are possible. You see, with men, some things are impossible, but not with God. With God, all things are possible. Here's where we're going today in the message. There are two parts, namely, to the message. Number one, here is where we're going, and I'll introduce you to who I'm talking about in a moment. But first of all, there are some definite steps we can take for healing relationships. Now, you can sit here today and act like you've got everything under control and act like all of your relationships are fine, and then thus you'll not get any help. Some definite steps. I want to carry you through five definite steps with the grace of God and to help you in your relationships and to help me in our relationships. Five definite steps for healing relationships. That's the first part of the message, all right? Number two, the second part of the message is going to be this. Not only some definite steps, but some daily vitamins for healthy relationships. From daily vitamins, helping healthy relationships. I want to invite you, and I'll clarify in just a little while as we go along in the message. But here's where we're going. In the book of Luke, chapter 1, take your Bibles and turn, please, to the book of Luke, chapter 1. We looked at this just a few years ago, and God began to speak to my heart this week about some other things in Luke, chapter 1. So take your Bibles and turn, please, to Luke, chapter 1. We begin reading in verse number 5. The couple that I was talking about, and if you're able to stand, would you stand as we read the wonderful, inerrant, infallible Word of God? You don't have to if you're not able to, or if you just would rather sit, that's fine. But what I want to do is read just a few verses of Scripture, and then we're going to come back and talk just for a little while on the subject of calling Dr. Jesus. I believe the Lord's going to speak to your heart about this, and I believe there's going to be some breakthroughs today for the glory of God. In a while, when we have our invitation, in a while, you're going to be confronted with, well, what are you going to do about the Word of God? Are you just going to hear it, or are you going to do it? Well, I hear some saying, "I'm going to do it, Pastor. I'm not just going to be here to hear it. I want to do it." Chapter 1, verse 5 of the book of Luke, if you're there, say amen. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, that is the Herod the Great, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias. Let's say that together, that name. Zacharias. Say it again. Zacharias. All right. Verse 5 again. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah. Let's say that name together. Abiah. Take your pen, take your pencil, and underline that word, Abiah, because it is something that needs clarification. We'll talk about it in a moment. So, in the days of Herod, verse 5, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron. And her name was Elizabeth. Let's say that name together. Elizabeth. One more time. Elizabeth. Here's Zachariah. Here's Elizabeth. I know you're familiar with them. But there's going to be some things that we're going to see today by the Holy Spirit that's going to be a blessing to you. And then look at verse number 6. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. It doesn't say faultless, but it says blameless. You see that? And then look at verse 7. And they had no child. Here's the diagnosis. No child. because that Elizabeth was barren and they both were now well stricken in years. There's the prognosis. They're too old to have children. The diagnosis, no child. The prognosis, it doesn't look like any hope. But wait a minute, there's a godnosis in this whole equation. Keep reading verse number 8. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, and let me just stop and say that you'll have to go back to the Old Testament, 1 Chronicles 24 and 10. Find out what this 24 division was that David implemented in this priestly order. Enough said about that right now. Let's keep reading. Look at verse number 9. According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense. And it was a real privilege, by the way, to have this responsibility. His lot, or his choice, choosing, was selection, if you will, was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. Note that, verse 10. I'll come back to it in a little while, and you'll understand how it all ties together. Verse 11. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord. How many believe in angels, all right? An angel appeared unto Zacharias. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. No doubt that was a sign of favor and the place of propitiation according to scholars. Verse 12, and when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Well, bless the Lord. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Let's say that name together. John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and shall rejoice at his birth. He shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. How many want to be filled with the Holy Ghost? He'll be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Verse 18. And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answered and said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent unto thee to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, not dumb as in not know anything, but dumb as in not being able to speak. And behold, some even say he couldn't hear. I don't know about all that, but look at verse 20. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not be able to speak until the day that these things should be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias. They're waiting for him. They're praying. They're gathered together. It's a special occasion. And marveled, as the people, they marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. What's going on with Zacharias? Why hadn't he come out here? What in the world is going on? They thought. Verse 22. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. Can you see him trying to talk and he can't talk? He's opening his mouth, but nothing's coming out. Don't you wish that would happen every once in a while, a brother pastor? Anyway, when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. Verse 23, and it came to pass, I want you to know verse 23, and it came to pass as the days of his ministration or his responsibility were accomplished, he departed to where? Where'd he go? To his own house. He went back to his house. Why? Look at verse 24. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. Really? You mean no hope, no child? Became hope? Oh, yeah. Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months. Note that. She hid herself 5 months and saying, thus saith the Lord, dealt with me in the days when he looked upon me. Look at the last part of verse 25. To take away my reproach among men. This is the word of the Lord. And all God's people said, amen and amen and amen. Father, I now we need you. We want you. We got to have you. We thank you your word is truth. We thank you that you are the way, the truth, the life. We thank you, Jesus, that it's all about you. And I ask now, Father, for that fresh anointing, that fresh touch from heaven. Pray, Father, you'll give us ears, obedient hearts, yielded, surrendered wills. And God, that you'll move the mountains that are in front of us. You'll heal the hurts of the past and bring help for the present, hope for the future. Thank you, Father, for your great love. I bless you, Jesus, for your precious cleansing blood. Plead the precious blood of Jesus over us today in this place. And Lord, we're just believing, our Lord, that strongholds will come crumbling down. And that hurts and Lord, healing will take place as you extend the Balm of Gilead. And we honor you now. We ask you, Lord, to be high lifted up. And we thank you in advance for the lives that are being changed and will be forever changed because you're a mighty God. And we give you glory in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. Here's where we're going. First, there are some definite steps for healing relationships. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many have got a relationship that needs healing? Here's what God put in my heart to share with you today. Number one, the first step, and actually, watch this, it's a step down. It's going down. And here's the step the Lord put in my heart to share with you. The first step is called failure. You got it? Failure. All right, where do I find that? I find that in verse number 25 of first chapter of the book of Luke. Look at this. In verse 25, the word of God, Luke the physician, the historian, says this, inspired by the Holy Ghost. Thus hath the Lord dealt with me, said Elizabeth, in the days wherein he looked upon me to take away my reproach among men. The first step in some definite steps in healing relationships is what we consider right here, failure. What I mean, I can almost see it in my mind's eye. Zacharias, by the way, he is also tied to the lineage of Aaron. He and his wife Elizabeth. Some scholars say that Elizabeth's last name, maiden name, was probably Aaron's wife's name. I don't know about all that, but all I know is they came from this special family, and yet they had challenges. How many of you got challenges today? And the problem was, is I believe, no doubt, Zacharias and Elizabeth probably felt like a failure. Don't you imagine? I mean, to have a baby in those days was a blessing indeed. In fact, today it's a blessing to have a baby. Somebody say amen. Well, it is. One mama said, said if you had to do it over again, would you have children? She said, yes, but not the same ones, all right? You understand? But it's a blessing to have, it's a blessing to have children. In fact, Zacharias and Elizabeth, y'all don't have any children. And you know what? There must be a curse on y'all. I can almost read between the lines and say, they probably looked at Zacharias and said, why don't y'all have any children? Y'all hadn't any children yet? No, we don't have any children. Don't you know, Zacharias probably felt rejected. Oh, if any of you have been through that, you probably know what I'm talking about. I've had some dear friends in the past that have not been able to have children. I could tell and see the hurt that was in them and the need that they had. Well, here's a failure that Zacharias is probably experiencing, maybe rejection. He looks around and he sees these other families. They've got children. He talks with his wife, Elizabeth. Honey, what's wrong? I mean, we can't have any children at all. And don't you know, Elizabeth probably has a poor self-worth. Failure. Why can't we have children? What's the deal? We're trying to be faithful to God. We're trying to serve the Lord. The word of God declares in Luke chapter 1 and verse 6, they were righteous, they were upright, they obeyed God, but they had some things that they were going through. Am I preaching to anybody today that's going through some storms, that's got some problems, that's experiencing some failures? We've all failed at some time or another, all right? We all have experienced failure. But let me remind you, as I have often before, that our failures might remind us, but praise God, they don't define us. I said our failures might remind us, but they do not define us. Hey, I can't deny when the devil points his ugly finger at me and says, look what you've done. I can't say, devil, you're wrong. I've got to say, devil, you're right. Look what I've done. But it's not what I've done. It's what Jesus has done, devil. and look where you've been. I can't deny, well, I've done some things and I've been some places I would to God I would not have gone. God, don't look at me like you're so self-righteous. You know you've been there too. But devil, it's not what I've done. It's not where I've been. But devil is who he is, and it's where I'm going, and it's what he's done. Hallelujah. And thus our failures might remind us, but they don't have to define us. That's going to help somebody right there. I tell you, that's going to help somebody right there. You just tell that devil, hey, yesterday is gone, but today is a new day, and this is the day the Lord hath made. We're going to rejoice, be glad in it. Hey, if you live in water, in that self-pity of what you did yesterday, you'll never move on with God. But I want you to know there's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein, and sinners plunge beneath that blood and lose all their guilty stain. Aren't you glad there's still power in the blood? Amen, brother pastor. Keep preaching it, brother. Failure. Where about today you feel like a failure? Well, maybe I didn't do everything just right as a parent. Well, maybe I'm not the perfect wife. How many know that we don't have perfect children? Let me see your hand. Oh, those of you that don't raise your hand, you've been deceived, friend. We all are sinners. We're all missed the mark. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. There's not a perfect parent, nor is there a perfect child. Got to thinking about it yesterday, even talked with somebody. God had his first two children, Adam and Eve. You know what? I find in the scripture where they didn't obey him. I'm not excusing disobedience by any means, but I'm just saying this. If God had two children and they disobeyed him, namely Adam and Eve, when they ate of the fruit when he told them not to and sin came into the world, surely we're not going to have perfect marriages, perfect homes, and perfect lives. Oh no, daddy, you're not perfect. Mama, you're not perfect. Grandpa, you're not perfect. And our grandchildren aren't going to be perfect. And our children aren't going to be perfect. Oh, but first step is that of failure. It's a happy day when we just come to that place and we say, yeah. Number two, there's a second step. It's from failure. Notice the word fear. You see that in the text? Look at this. In verse number 13. But the angel said unto him, fear not. Let's say that together. Fear not. Say it again. Fear not. Why? Well, it just so happens that Zacharias was fulfilling his duty. We go from failure to fear. I don't blame Zacharias. I'd have been afraid too if an angel showed up just like that. You know, Zacharias was fulfilling his priestly duties. If we could have that picture to come back up, please. Number one, on the screen, Zacharias was offering up incense. And that was a part of his priestly opportunity and responsibility. And he is, by the way, we're told that there were three times of year where everybody was required to go to the temple. And it was namely the Passover and the Feast of Pentecost, and then finally the Feast of Tabernacles. Don't miss that. I'm going to come back to that in a moment. There's something significant about the Feast of Passover, and particularly the Feast of Tabernacles. Why? Because it's in the fall. How many believe that Jesus was born in December? Let me see your hand. How many believe that he wasn't? Let me see your hand. How many don't know? Let me see your hand. We're going to talk about that in a moment. I'm telling you, it just could very well be, and I personally believe he was, born in December. How you figure that, brother pastor? Well, let me just go ahead and get into it some. I'm already in it. Bring up the screen, that number three, please. And here a certain individual has done some investigation concerning the birth of the Lord. Now keep in mind, there were three feasts that all the people were to attend in Jerusalem. Again, namely the Passover and the Feast of Pentecost, and thirdly, the Feast of Tabernacles. Now you're well aware there were seven Jewish feasts that were, and still are, by the way, celebrated every year. Now, I know there's those today that say, well, Jesus wasn't born in December, he was born in July, and after all, the shepherds couldn't have been out of that field in December, it was too cold, and the sheep would have been cold, and after all, there's all of this findings that he was not born in December. The fact is, I'm not sure, but I believe, my personal opinion, he was born in December, and let me show you where I came to that conclusion. someone has done some wonderful investigation concerning, and here's how they did it. I don't have time to elaborate long on it, so y'all gonna have to listen fast. If you take the year 70 AD, what happened in 70 AD? The temple was destroyed. Their historians, Josephus and others, can take events like 70 AD and backtrack from 70 AD and find out the year. These 24 divisions, you're gonna have to do a lot of study, and I've been researching this and studying this week, and there's no way I can tell you all that I want to tell you in the limited time I've got to tell you. So I challenge you to get in there and you study it and you find out for yourself. What do you think? Because there are two views. There are some that say he was born in July or August. There's some say he was born in December. But for the record's sake, I thought this was very interesting. And if you'll notice, here is the word that I ask you to underline. Look in verse number five. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah. Who is Abiah? Well, you got to go back to the Old Testament. You find out Abijah is the name mentioned in 1 Chronicles chapter 24. David and his sovereign leadership, well, at least his wise leadership, can I use that term? He began to categorize 24 of the priests. Now, there's a lot of implications in here. When they went to Babylon, they came back. I don't want to get into all that. All I want to tell you is this. There were 24 divisions. It just so happened Zechariah was out of one of these 24 divisions. And a man has calculated the actual year that the year 5 BC, if you'll notice right up here, the service and division of Abijah, 8 to 5 BC. Here's the vision of Abijah who served, and here is in 5, and here is in 5 BC, here is in 6 BC. Notice the date, October, March, the birth of Christ, 25th. How did they get that? The conception of Jesus, March 25th. The conception of John, October the 10th, the division of Abijah's service. Who served? Again, they can go back from 70 AD and calculate from 70 AD, find out when each priest, namely Zacharias, when he would be responsible for serving in the temple. I mentioned to you that a priest would normally spend at least 2 weeks out of the year for normal responsibilities in the temple, besides the three weeks that were required for Passover and for Pentecost and for the Feast of Tabernacles. Guess when the Feast of Tabernacles comes to pass? It's in the fall. That's why many believe this was probably during the Feast of Tabernacles when Zacharias was in the temple. Why do they say that? How do they conclude that? Let me just throw this out. Because there was a multitude of people. Did you remember when I said, note that they were praying? That is, there was a great gathering there. So it seems the conclusion is logical that Zacharias was probably in the temple and was probably doing his priestly duties. And this is, historians have calculated this. Not everybody's in agreement of this. But anyway, so if he was in the temple doing his duties in the fall around this time, follow with me now, because I want you to go through this, and then we're going to look at something here in just a moment. Zacharias, he doesn't have any children. His wife doesn't have any children. But the angel Gabriel comes and says, hey, you're going to have a baby. By the way, his name's going to be John. This is a sign for you. Not Zacharias Jr. Normally they'd name a boy Zacharias Jr. Not so. John is his name. And the angel said, your wife is going to have a baby. Did you read verse 23 and 24 of the text where it says, after Zechariah had finished his priestly duties, where did he go? Home. What did he do? I'm telling you, Elizabeth conceived according to the Bible when Zacharias got home. All right, calculate 6 months from that. Why do I say that? Elizabeth had to hide herself for 5 months. She did at least. 6 months later, all you got to do is continue to read in Luke chapter 1. And you find out 6 months later, after Elizabeth had conceived John, guess where she goes? To Mary. Read it, verse 26 following of Luke chapter 1. 6 months later, she shows up at Mary. All right, if she had conceived in the October or so, November, December, January, February, March, somewhere in March and April, she probably shows up over there at Mary's house, March and April. And then the Bible says, after she had gone to Mary's house, Mary conceived as well. Oh, it didn't take a rocket scientist to calculate from March. If Mary conceived in March, Elizabeth was 6 months before her, who conceived probably in the fall, according to many. Then,
go with me. April, May, June, July. I got to count with my fingers. August, September, October, November, and what day is the ninth month? Oh, did you know that? Have you ever, I know there are people that discredit the Bible. They say, oh, the Bible isn't real. But frankly, I'll be honest with you. It don't matter if he was born in a month that wasn't even there. I still believe the Bible. Hello. But I just thought this was interesting. Scroll down there, please. I've got some more information there. Scroll down, please, on that, what we got right there. Failure. Here's the conclusion. And scroll down to the bottom, please. All right. I just shared with you a lot of this. Keep scrolling down, please. Keep scrolling down to the conclusion. Please keep scrolling down to the last part. Based on the vision of Jehoiarib having been of the duty during the destruction of the second temple. Sorry, we lost it. Anyway, just believe in what was said. If you can draw it down to the conclusion again, I just to describe to you this, what I'm sharing with you. Scroll down to the very end, Katie, to the very end. Keep on scrolling. Look at the notes, look at the end notes. I've got this, I'll give it to you a copy if you wanted to know. Here is the documentation of where it came. Kenneth Doeg has done this research, and I thought it was really interesting. You take with it what you want to. All right, thank you. Bring up that last picture, number two, please. We go from failure to what? Fear. Now, Zacharias is afraid. How many of you have been afraid lately? Have you been in fear? Here's a picture. His name is John. Zacharias and Elizabeth, they don't have any children. All right, all of a sudden, God appears to them and says, you're going to have a baby. Fear. Can I ask y'all a question? What do you fear when you're going down the road? When you're driving down the road, what do you fear? Did I hear somebody say a deer running out in front of you? Yeah, we do fear a deer running out in front of us. How about a skunk? Last Wednesday night, I left the Christmas dinner, and guess what? I was on my way home, and I saw a black object in the road. I could not avoid it. Boom, thud, I ran right over it. I said, oh no. By the time I was made at home, I could smell that smell of a skunk. It had gotten on the tire of my car. I couldn't get it off. I sprayed this, I sprayed all kind of stuff. It just smelled to high heavens. Fear, a lot of phobias. Matter of fact, I've said it before, but say it again. What do you get when you cross a skunk with a hoot owl? Somebody says, if you ever crossed a skunk with a hoot owl, you get an animal that sure does stink, but it don't give a hoot, all right? Anyway, fear. Hey, there's some of you in fear, and you're acting like you're not in fear. You might as well deal with it, the phobia. We go from failure to fear, but praise God, we're not going to stop there. Hey, listen, you can turn around. Definite steps for healing relationships. The third step, as we go from failure, Zacharias and Elizabeth don't have a baby. What are we going to do? And then from fear, how am I going to know this? Said Zacharias to the angel. And Zacharias was told, you're going to be dumb. You're not going to be able to speak until that baby shows up. And then Zacharias holds a sign. He can't even speak. When he gets out of the temple, Zacharias can't say anything. The people are waiting for him. He's trying to move his mouth. Nothing's coming out. Why? Because of the fear. But wait a minute. That turns us from failure to fear. And now the third word. And it hits the bottom and we're going back up. It's the word I call fight. F-I-G-H-T. Now, for a moment, with me, thankful for a moment. Fight. The Bible says in first chapter of Luke, look at verse 13. You got to see it. Look at verse 13. Follow with me in the text. Look at verse 13. If you got your Bibles, look at verse 13. And the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is what? Thy prayer is what? Heard. Wait a minute. They go from failure to fear, but now they're going to fight it. I can see Zacharias and Elizabeth. Can you see him? I can see old Zacharias go over to his wife and say, honey. I can see him take her by the hand and say, honey, I don't know why we can't have children. I don't know, but we're going to have to trust God. Let's commit this thing to the Lord. Let's pray about this. And I can see him as he takes his wife's hand. I can see him as he bows in prayer. By the way, that's a good thing to do even today. Things that are out of your control. I can hear him as he says, oh God, your will be done in our life. They move from failure to fear, but they're going back up. There's going to be some healing. Don't you know that the blame game was obvious in this relationship? It's your fault. No, it's your fault. Hey, it says that Elizabeth and Zacharias were blameless, but they weren't faultless. How many know it's easy to start being critical toward each other? How many know it's easy to start blaming? Well, if you do this and you do that, oh, isn't that easy to do? You know where I'm going with that. But they said, no, we're going to pray about it. And the angel said, your prayers are heard. Now, thus those who believe that he's not talking about Elizabeth and Zacharias' particular prayer, but the prayers of the people that are praying outside. You can believe what you want to. I believe it's both. The people are praying outside, and no doubt that Elizabeth and Zacharias being upright, they were praying as well. You believe that? I believe that with all my heart. Well, wait a minute, because it goes from failure and fear to fight to back. The fourth step that we need to take in order to heal hurting relationships is after we go down from failure and fear and we fight failure and fear, then the next step is that of faith. How many know that without faith it's impossible to please God? Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I believe Zacharias and Elizabeth said, we're going to believe God no matter what. We can't figure it out. How many today are going through some trouble or trial? You can't get out of debt. You got bills. You can't change people. What are you going to do? You're going to believe God. You're going to trust God. And so we're gonna exercise faith in God. And then that's step number 5, and it's this. Follow. I love verse 6. Look at verse 6 of the text. Look at it now. Don't take my word for it. Look at it. Verse 6 of Luke chapter 1. And they were both righteous before God, walking in the commandments and ordinance of the Lord. Blameless. What does this tell me? What does it tell you? I'll tell you what it tells you. It tells me this. They couldn't have children, but they said, I believe there was a time in their life, my brother, when they came together and said, you know what? Things might not be going just the way we want them to go, but we're going to worship and serve our God anyway. Hello? You're there? I know you're there. I love that. Those boys in the fire, they said, we're not going to bow down to your idol king in Daniel chapter 3. And even if our God doesn't deliver us, we're still not going to bow down to your idol. Have you decided you're going to go all the way for God? Have you decided if things don't go right, I'm still going to serve my God? If things don't go the way I want them to, I'm still going to believe God. I'm still going to serve God. I'm still determined to follow Jesus. Somebody ought to say amen and glory. Hallelujah. Yeah, I'm going to serve God anyway, because you're going to get right there, my friend. You're going to get right there, and you're going to have to decide. You're going to get bitter, or you're going to get better. You're going to get resentful, or you're going to get repentant. Are you going to blame everything on everybody else? Are you going to draw near to God and say, God, you're always fair. Life might not be fair, but Jesus is always fair. He's got a divine plan. They said, we're going to follow the Lord. Then that leads us to this, and I've got to quickly go through it. 5 definite steps to take in healing relationships. Now, 5. Now, some of you got to block off what I just said about Christmas Day. That's, you got your hung up right there. Move on with me. Move on with me. Let that go right now. You can go home and study it. You can go home, get your books out, get on the computer, and look it up later. But follow with me, because here is some real healing going to take place. Number 5. Daily vitamins to take for healthy relationships. Number 1. By the way, if you came to our house and you looked at our medicine cabinet, you'd think you were at CVS Pharmacy. Hello. Open the cabinet. There's all kinds of stuff. How many know what I'm talking about? Well, what kind of vitamins? First vitamin is vitamin A. Vitamin A. You need to take vitamin A. If you're going to have a healthy relationship, you've got to take vitamin A, vitamin B, vitamin C, vitamin D, vitamin E. 5 vitamins that are absolutely essential if we're going to have healthy relationship. Going back to vitamin A. What is vitamin A? Are you ready for vitamin A? If you're ready for vitamin A, say, I'm ready. Vitamin A. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Accept the limitations of our loved ones and show affection. That's a little mouthful. Do you hear me? Accept the limitations of our loved ones. When we try to say, well, you know, I can't accept the way, I'm not saying accept sin, but I'm saying this, we've got to learn to accept the limitations of our loved ones.
No doubt, Zacharias and Elizabeth came to that conclusion that there were some limitations.
Question, have you come to the conclusion, have I come to the conclusion, there's some limitations in your husband, your wife, your sons, your daughters, your grandchildren, your grandchildren, great-grandchildren. How many understand there's some limitations? You've got to accept the limitation. If you're always trying to change them, always trying to, they don't measure up. I understand. They may not measure up to your expectations and my expectations, but guess what? God's the only one that can change them. Hello? And as long as you and I are trying to do it, we're going to be in a state of miserability, if I can use that term, or state of frustration. We can't do it. Accept their limitations and affirm with affirmation.
Number two, be a blessing. Be a blessing.
I know that's easier said than done.
Who was it, Boyd, that prayed earlier and said, God, I don't understand how we can love our enemies, but you give us the grace to love our enemies.
Be a blessing. Have you determined you're going to be a blessing? I know they might not act right. I know that our loved ones and our friends may not treat us like the way we think we ought to be treated. But wait a minute. The Word of God teaches we're not to return evil for evil, but good for evil. In so doing, we pour heaping coals, according to Paul's letter to the Romans in Romans chapter number 12. Oh, yes. I can't do that, Pastor. No, I can't either. That's why we need God today. That's why we need healing today. That's why we need God's grace today. That's why we need God's power today. That's why we're here today. Reach out to Him. Call Dr. Jesus. Be a blessing. I'm going to be a blessing at Christmas. It's not all about me. It's not all about what I get. It's not all about my needs. It's about being a blessing. Number two. Number three. Wait a minute. Number three, vitamin C. Take plenty of it. We'll elaborate on this at another message. But number three, don't miss it. What's vitamin C? Careful not to control. Careful not to control. What I mean, the sooner we understand we can't control everybody around us and circumstances around us all the time, the better off we are. And there's a whole bunch of us in here that are a bunch of control freaks. Can I get somebody to say amen? You know where I'm at. You know what I'm talking about. You know you're right there. Vitamin C, take it. Be careful, try not to control everything. I heard about one little girl. She said to another little girl, said, I don't know about this God stuff. I don't know if God's even real. She said, if God, and the little girl was telling her, God's got a purpose for everything, and God's got a plan for everything, and everything God made. The little girl said to her friend, said, what about poison ivy? What purpose does that serve? And her friend that believed in God said, there's some things you just better keep your hands off of. Poison ivy. How many know there's some things you just got to keep your hands off of? Other people's business. Somebody say amen. Other people's business. Keep your hands off of other people's business. That's right. See, we need to take plenty of that. I know we're trying to change them. Somebody said a husband and wife sets out to get married, and the wife sets out to change her husband, and the husband says, she'll never change. Bless God. God's able to change them, though. Today, we need to release that control, don't we? Stop trying to change them. Stop trying to change them. Accept their limitations. Pray for them and watch God change them. But be right in your motives. Be right in your attitude. Wait a minute, and I'll be done. D, don't criticize. I don't have time. I've got to close. E, expect trials. They're going to happen. E, take vitamin D. Take vitamin E. Expect trials. What we've done this morning is we've just covered, in the brief time we've had, call Dr. Jesus. When you need Emmanuel, God with us, call Dr. Jesus. When you just need a talk with the Lord, call Dr. Jesus. When you need to keep from falling into sin, call Dr. Jesus. When you find out you need to be lifted up like some of us today, call Dr. Jesus. Yeah, when life seems to be a mess, call Dr. Jesus. When you're overcome with your circumstances and problems and bills, call Dr. Jesus. We don't have to be overcome. We can overcome. Oh, yes, we can. When you feel yourself prayerless, call Dr. Jesus. Oh, yeah. When you feel restless and you can't sleep at night, call Dr. Jesus. When you find yourself slipping in sin, call Dr. Jesus. When you're being tempted, call Dr. Jesus. How many are going to call Dr. Jesus today as we stand?